All right. Thank you very much, dear brothers and sisters, for giving us this opportunity, for sharing your love, your time to give us a Sabbath service so we could come together and have fellowship. So thank you very much and happy Sabbath to all of you wherever you're located. Thank you for the readings. Thank you again for your love to be on right now. To support the work wherever we are to preach the gospel, because it's getting, can't say it enough, it's so dark in the world. And we need to be that light. And we need to get together, not just on the Sabbath, but get together to serve Him, to proclaim this gospel. So today, dear brethren, we will resume our presentations on the book of Acts and the book of Revelations. Last Sabbath, we postponed it temporarily to go over the Master's Prayer. I'm still working to have I'm still working to have the recording posted on our website so you could listen to it or have others that you know that might benefit from it listen to it. So I hope to have that on there soon. So beginning with the book of Acts, we will continue where we left off. Two Sabbaths ago, we covered Acts chapter 4, verses 12 to 26. So today we will continue from verse 26 and hopefully complete the entire chapter today. Okay, so let's begin quickly. So it says, going to the context, he says, verse 25, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the eternal and against his anointed, his chosen, his elect one. Verse 27, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant, Yeshua, the anointed, the Savior, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Verse 29, and now, sovereign, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Yeshua, the Savior. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the set-apart Spirit, and continued to speak the word of Elohim with boldness. Verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the sovereign Savior. And great grace was upon them all. Verse 34. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and was distributed to each as any had need. Thus, Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Amen. So let's go back and talk through this as the Eternal enables us. Okay, so from verse 25, it says, who through the mouth of our father David and your servant, I'm sorry, who through the mouth of our father David your servant, said by the Holy Spirit. So again, as we mentioned two Sabbaths ago, you see their humble attitudes and the honor that they give through in their prayer to David, calling him our father, David, your servant. And he spoke by the Holy Spirit. Now, father here is not the same meaning as when we say our father in heaven. That's a different meaning. This is just means our ancestor in that case. So why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the eternal, against his anointed. So quoting from Psalms chapter 2. Now, it's an understanding how sometimes things are fulfilled in the scriptures. This fulfillment is not a one-time fulfillment. It's just a saying. It's a passage in the scripture that references the attitudes of the nations against Elohim and those whom he chooses. In this case, applicable to his son. They plotted against this directly happened against his son. We believe in the future times there will be other such things when Messiah returns, and we read that in the book of Revelation and so on. But we're not there yet. But so it's not the first. That's not the only time this will happen. But it's applicable. Why did the nations rage and the people's plot in vain? So they asked a question. With the psalm, that's the question, right? Why did the nations set themselves against you and against your anointed, against you, the eternal, and against his anointed? So verse 27 says, so they attest that this has happened. What David stated has happened in regards to the holy servant, the anointed Savior. And who were involved? Herod, representing the leadership over Israel or Jerusalem, and Pontius Pilate, the leadership over the Gentile powers, the Gentile nations, and along with the nations themselves and the peoples of Israel. So leaders and civilians as well turned against the anointed Savior, and we know that. That's true. That's absolutely true, because when he was being condemned, he was being tried by the religious group, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, by Pilate, and then Herod, and then the peoples, many of the peoples, not all of them, of course, a number of them, stood against Yeshua and chose Yeshua and chose Barabbas instead of the anointed Savior. So they plotted against him. And of course, the Gentile Romans, the guards, brutalized him as well. So all of this happened. And now all these horrible things happened, but verse 28 tells us, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. That's very important for us to understand and have as a paradigm, a way of thinking about what's happening in our world every day. There are bad things happen, and especially when we see bad things that are very widespread, especially like what we're experiencing now, you know, with this quote unquote pandemic and everything that's going on. It's not a minor thing. And when something is not minor, you know, even minor things are by Elohim's will, but especially big things like that affect so many people. Elohim is doing something. Elohim is allowing it to happen for a reason. So he says, these things, all these bad things, they stood against your anointed, but to do whatever your hand and your plan had arranged to take place. See that? So sometimes, again, we, as we see things are going on, we need to have the right attitude. And even though it can affect us adversely, we need to keep in mind that Elohim is in charge, and this is happening for a reason. And it's not just a simplistic answer. It's a reality. There's a cause and effect. There's a reason why Elohim, the first reality, the power over all things, is allowing these things to happen. So knowing this, let's see what the apostles did. So they made reference to the psalm, to the prophetic psalm of David. They made reference to its fulfillment in regards to his son through the hands of the Jews and the Gentiles. And now they make their request. And so verse 29 says, "And now, Eternal, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word in all boldness." So they went outside and got picket signs and created all sorts of things as the congregation of Elohim to protest and to claim. Nope, that's not what they did. It's not that those things are wrong. The world will do these things, but that's not the job of the congregation of Elohim, of those that are in Messiah. And that's not their job. Look at their prayer. "And now, Sovereign Eternal, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." That's what they prayed for. Because that's what the will take care of the root problems. When the world in righteousness, in all humility, protest, that hardly happens. But if they do, it's not wrong. But we who are of the congregation of Elohim, we're made wise. We don't attack symptoms. You know, the bad things that are happening are systematic of a condition. We who are believers deal with the condition and the solution to the condition, to the problem of this world, is the gospel message, is the good news. That's what that is, the word of Elohim, because the word of Elohim will convert the souls, not just create laws and prisons and things like that to keep people in check. These things are needed for the rebellious and those that cannot. But if we preach the gospel, then we will overturn all these evil things by converting the soul through the word of Elohim, by the Spirit. So that's key. And the reason the world is the way it is today is because that hasn't really, most, unfortunately, teachings that are out there, preaching that are there, isn't the true gospel. It's parts of it mixed with a lot of other things that are ineffectual. And especially this part is often missing. What part? Verse 30. So he said, they asked for to grant them the ability to continue speaking with all boldness. They asked for strength. They did not rely on their own strength. See, they're asking for it. And in every adverse situation that we are in, we need to learn to ask for the strength to overcome. And that's why many people can't overcome their sins, because they're just looking to the law. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. But they don't look to the Eternal that says, yes, I said thou shalt not. Now ask me for strength. That's the important part. We have to ask for the strength to do these things. We cannot do it on our own. Okay? We all will have an area in our life that's difficult. You know, for some, the Sabbath may be easy, while maybe dishonesty, being honest, may not be so easy. You understand? And for some, being honest is very easy, and something else in the command may be difficult. But when we turn to Elohim, he gives us the strength, and then by his Spirit, which really converts us, makes us see things in the way he sees it, makes us now hate our sin, it becomes easy. It becomes easier. And in fact, to those who are converted, who are led by Spirit, all the commandments of Elohim are easy. The only difficulty we who are those who are in his hands face are the attacks against us. But none of the commandments are Elohim are difficult for us. We love them all. We enjoy them all. It's not a problem. But it's the world that creates a problem for us, just as we see here. See, all the while, the disciples were they were having a wonderful time with the believers and baptizing people and so on and preaching. Now they're opposed. Now the difficulty comes. Where did the difficulty come? From the commandments? No, from the evil. The evil causes the difficulty. If we find that we're struggling obeying the commandments of Elohim, then we're not yet converted. We want to understand that, because when you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, the Holy Spirit causes you to love his commandments and to keep them. So there's no commandment that a believer, that someone who has Elohim's Spirit dwelling in him, does not like. We love Elohim's words. We love his ways and can't have enough of it. So we need to ask for that strength. Then we will have it by the Spirit. And verse 31 says, what else did they do? And when they had prayed, verse 30 says, and while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name, through the authority of your holy servant, Yeshua, the Savior. That is necessary. It's not only the talk. As honest and true as the talk may be, there must be the demonstration of the power of the Spirit to back up what's being said. And that's one of the big things, big part, the big component of proclaiming the kingdom of Elohim that's often missing. Often, sometimes, you can hear a perfect message, but what's going on is that the person who's presenting it doesn't really believe, doesn't really have the Holy Spirit, isn't living a right lifestyle. All that matters, as we will see as we continue the book of Acts, of people trying to do things in the name of Yeshua, and because they were not right, they did not have that authority. And so they were actually beaten and went away ashamed. But that's in the future readings in the book of Acts. So we need to pray with understanding. So what they did here, they understood the situation they were facing. They understood why they were being attacked. They understood it through the teachings of David, as recorded in Psalms 2. They understood it by being aware, by knowing what happened in their time, and seeing and understanding what was happening in their time in light of the scriptures. Notice, they interpreted what happened to the anointed Savior through what was written in the Psalms. They saw the principles. They did not interpret it in carnal ways, in their own ideas, but were given the spiritual insight to see it in light of the scriptures, in this case, Psalms 2, to see the principles, the underlying principle of what was going on. They set themselves against Elohim and his anointed. So we need to understand, and then we need to ask for help. We need to want the help. If we ask, everything we ask, we have to ask in sincerity. If we don't ask it in sincerity with all our hearts, chances are we're not going to get what we're asking. We need to ask it with all of our hearts. And sometimes that takes a little meditation. We need to think about what's going on. We need to get to the point where We know there's no other way to get that help except by asking. And so we ask. We ask with that attitude, with all of our hearts. And then we also ask for Elohim to intervene and expect signs and wonders. We must not be like those who were in the days when Messiah returned to his own town. They did not believe. Because when we do not believe, he will not act. Again, it's not that his power depends on us. No, but he won't grant us what we're asking or seeking if we don't believe in him, because that's dishonorable. We need to believe, and then he'll grant us what we ask if we believe. So according to their prayer in verse 30, and when they had prayed, the disciples started to jump up and down. They started to scream. They started to run back and forth. They started to jump on the floor. Nope, that's not what happened. They were sober, but the place around them shook. Why did I say that? See? And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and continued to speak the word of Elohim with boldness, just as they prayed for. But the place shook. Now, sometimes there are people that are boasting that they have the Holy Spirit. And then what they end up doing is they start shouting, they start saying all sorts of strange sounds, and nobody understands what they're saying, but they claim that they're speaking in tongues. They're jumping up and down. They're running all over the place. I've witnessed this several times, going to places like that. That's not how the Holy Spirit manifests. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of clarity, of peace and calmness, of shalom. It's a spirit of power. It will not make you behave erratically. It will make you behave most soberly. Okay, and so people could understand, just as we saw in Acts chapter 2. The brethren were very sober and speaking beyond their natural ability, in what came out of their mouths, as well as, of course, the power of the Spirit, which made everyone hear what they were saying in their own language. So being filled with the Spirit doesn't cause people to do erratical things that no one understands. And then at the end of the day, nothing is accomplished. I remember being in one of such place. A lady was jumping all over the place. The kids were scared, right? The little kids, there were little children there. They were like scared, frightened. And then at the end, she collapsed on the floor and they had to bring her downstairs to the basement. So the whole service was interrupted by this quote-unquote Holy Spirit act. I should say, this is wrong. I don't know if any of you have ever gone to a place where you saw that happen. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's another spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't do. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of calm and peace and soberness and understanding and of power. So they spoke the word in boldness as they prayed for. So Elohim answered their prayer. So now, having done that, as a result, we see in verse 32 that the number of believers grew. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said, so they were united, really united. So you've heard me say before, we can all speak the same thing. When we're led by the Spirit, when Messiah is in charge, we can speak the same thing. It's a matter of understanding. We have to wait on the Spirit. We don't just say what comes to our mind and there's discord. Once there's discord, you know the Spirit is not acting. If there's discord among the brethren, I'm saying. In the world will always mostly oppose us or join us. But in the congregation, when you're sitting among brethren, we have to agree. We can't just teach one thing or the other. That's where the schisms happen. We have to wait, be patient, and wait until Elohim unites our hearts on things before we share it with the world. You understand? We can share among ourselves what we believe, what we think, and not argue about it. And because we know the person who's saying the thing that I don't understand, Elohim loves him. And he or she should understand Elohim loves me. And so there's no reason for us to argue, but rather pray that Elohim will grant us in our discourse, in our discussions, to come to the same understanding. The right understanding. Because it could be both of our understandings are wrong. But in the Spirit, when the Spirit works in us, we will come to know what the truth actually is. But when we wrestle and struggle and strive among each other to get the other to believe what we say about certain things, that's not how the Spirit works. It's okay for us to have a discussion where we try to convince one another, but we should not fight over it. We should have a dialogue. Okay, I'll listen to you. Oh, I see. That's what you believe. You believe it is A. And the reason you believe it's A is because of these reasons. I see. Now, I believe it's B. And the reason I believe it's B is because of this. So we share our ideas in humility. We don't divide. But now that we know that there's a difference of opinion, we pray for that unity. That's how that happens, brethren. And that's how the ancients did it. They did not divide over things like that. And if there was a contentious member among them, the Spirit drove them away. Okay? So that's how they were of one heart and soul. So that was their one heart and soul, one heart and life. Oh my goodness. So we are far from that. We today, even us, I believe, are far from that. Some a little better than the other, but we need, if we want to have this type of experience, we need to have this type of life. Okay? And we'll see what's required. Let's see how much time. Okay, I got to bring this to a close. They had one thing, and no one said that anything, any of the things that belonged to him was his own. They had everything in common. And I could say this, everything in common except their wives. That was well understood, oh brethren, in the ancient writings of the new covenant writings from the bishops, the true bishops that existed back then with the power of the Spirit and the truth. They gave account of these things, how they live, how the Christians live. They had all things in common for real. They shared everything. Except their wives. Or their husbands. But they had everything in common. Now, how did they do this? So it says, and they had everything in common. Why? What was the basis? Their physical basis, their visible basis apart. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the sovereign Yeshua, and great grace was upon them all. That was the key. You understand? I can't create an environment like this unless Elohim grants me the ability. None of us can, not just I, but none of us can create this type of, unless we have apostolic power, prophetic power. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the sovereign Yeshua. It's not somebody that's going to pick up the Bible like I'm doing, or looking through some record and teaching. No, they were giving the testimony of it, and the Spirit gave testimony on their behalf by the power that was in them, with great power. Okay, that means, as we know, they were doing miracles, and things were happening as they're doing these things with great power. So when there is the apostolic, when there is the prophet in the midst of the congregation, then the congregation could function like this at this level. It doesn't mean we're not a congregation because we don't yet have this. As you will see as we continue the book of Acts, you will see congregations that did not have this. You will see congregations of Elohim that did not even have the Holy Spirit, but they were his congregation. We will see that as we read further in the book of Acts. We have to get all these things so we could understand how we are to be in a proper way. But to have this all things in common, you have to have a prophet, if not an apostle. The apostles had all the gifts. They had the prophetic gifts and so on. But at least someone with the prophetic gift that you can know for sure is directed by Elohim. Otherwise, you end up having your Jim Jones and other cult leaders. Anyone who tries to do this without the power of the Spirit will end up having a cult. Because no one who doesn't have the power of the Spirit is authorizing Messiah's name to do this, to unite people into this capacity where they're doing what the prophet is saying. It has to be a true prophet. So it's not something when you hear of people that are, oh, come join our community and come, don't follow that. These things will all fall apart. And all sorts of sin and things happen in these places. Okay? So until Elohim sends a prophet, you don't try to do this. We can try our best to pray and come to agreement on things, but we don't try to sell our things and lay it at some sinful nobody's feet. It has to be at a prophet's feet, an apostle's feet, someone that has the evidence of the power of the Spirit. So never let anyone deceive you into joining any such thing as some sort of community where you go live with them, you go live under them. It will only lead to trouble. You will, just as was written in the book of Deuteronomy, and I believe in Exodus chapter 20, in some translations, in some texts, you have to wait for the prophet. And yes, Moses was talking about the true prophet Messiah. But in principle, as you see through the Tanakh, as you see through the Old Testament, it applies to all prophets. Because when Samuel was there, the people had to listen to Samuel. Okay? So whoever the prophet, when Elisha, all the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the people were supposed to listen to them. So in principle, it applies to all the prophets. But we never follow anybody to this degree, join anyone to this degree, as described here in verses 32 to 36, unless there is the apostolic prophetic power there. And it says there, verse 34, and there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and did what? Laid it at the apostles' feet. And what did the apostles do with it? Did they buy fancy cars, expensive? No, they did not. They distributed it to each that had need. So you had a congregation led by these men made just by the Spirit of Elohim, who created a situation where there was no poor person in the congregation. Okay, well, I'm going to stop here, and we will continue with this next Sabbath. I think we need to say a little bit more about that. So we're going to stop here so that we can go into the book of Revelations.